Welcome to the Urban Complex, a system of interrelated, emotion-charged ideas, feelings, memories, and impulses. This name takes the definition and lays out what a listener should expect. A podcast where ideas, feelings, and memories collide, leading towards meaningful change. I'm co-host Chris Richardson. Please enjoy the journey with the Urban Complex. Smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow.
All opinions by Chris Richardson, Dominic Poppin, and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Arizona State University, the Arizona Department of Education, or the Arizona Commerce Authority. Any endorsement of or messages from sponsors are solely supporting the production of this podcast. There is no relationship further than podcast purposes with any sponsor unless separately created with another entity. Enjoy the Urban Complex. Smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow.
All right, Dom, here we are again. What's top of mind for you?
Oh, man, I know people are probably going to make fun of me. I'm going to get razzed for this, but
where are we going?
I think it's 60 degrees in Arizona. I was just out, you know, working out this morning, and it's freezing.
Wearing a long sleeve.
I know. I feel like I now have to wear no more polos.
Let me get you a scarf for the next episode.
Yeah, I'm going to next time I'll be wearing a beanie. It finally just feels like, I can't believe, what is it, you know, second week of December, first week of December, and it's finally feels like it's the change of seasons for us here.
We have that brisk air, but it feels great. But at the same time, I was out walking in shorts at 6 a.m. yesterday just to get some exercise before.
Yeah. It was just today. Today felt cold. Yeah. Today for the first time, I was like, ooh, I might have to wear a jacket.
Right on.
But I'm sure other people back east, and they're all making fun of us, I'm sure.
It's all relative, right?
Yeah, exactly.
120 degree heat, it's a dry heat. That does happen. All right. Well, cool. So how do you know our guest, Michael, I guess?
Yeah, Michael, CIO of Aurora, Illinois. Incredible guy. This podcast is going to be great because he's done so many incredible things that I've been watching really closely. You know, we met probably on the Smart City Circuit. He actually has hosted a couple of events in Aurora that I've been to and some of their kind of education and tech hubs and centers, especially around like coding for youth. He's just a terrific guy, great mentor, came from the private sector, but has brought that into public sector and the government, and has really, really pushed the envelope and changed the way the city and its culture really have adapted to smart city. So I'm just so excited for this podcast because I think there's going to be so much pieces of information for our listeners and people trying to do their own smart city efforts that I think they're going to be able to learn from.
Cool.
Have you met Mike? Have you met
Mike?
Oh, you haven't met him?
No.
So this will be great. I think we're going to really get along with him.
I've seen him on social. I know he's done a lot in space, so I'm excited to hear about it firsthand. Should we get him on?
Yeah, let's bring him in. Here he comes.
Support for this episode of The Urban Complex comes from Worldwide Technology.
What if we could connect people to new possibilities, turn thinking into a way forward, solve problems before they become a problem, and share the future with everyone? We can. At WWT, we connect businesses to technology to make the impossible possible, to reach better decisions faster, to accelerate progress. Together, let's make a new world happen.
Michael, please let Dom and I give you a warm welcome to our podcast, The Urban Complex. Thanks for joining today.
Thank you, gentlemen, and good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Great to see you.
You too, buddy.
Cool. Well, Michael, why don't you start with some information about you? We found that's the best way to build rapport with our audience. And what do you want them to know about you as a person, as your background to get to where you are today? And we'll talk about your role as CIO and City Aurora in a minute.
All right. Okay. So, my name is Michael Piggies. I'm Chief Information Officer at the City of Aurora, Illinois, not to be confused with Aurora, Colorado, because that happens a lot. But the City of Aurora, it's a population about 200,000, very diverse in terms of ethnicity. We sit in 4 counties and we're the second largest city in the state, second to Chicago, but second to none.
Right? And just how many people is that?
200,000 is the population.
Oh, great. And so how about you? You've had a pretty storied background. What led you to this place in your experiences?
Yeah, so if the question is what led me to the public sector, I can address that.
Right? Okay. So, wherever you want to go, we're open. Hear about you.
Right, so I am a Aurora native. I grew up here, right? Okay. I just did a stint overseas about 19 years where I worked for the Department of Defense for 3 years, worked for several Fortune 50 companies like Hewlett-Packard, Vodafone, and also my previous employer was Morgan Stanley out of Budapest and also New York, downtown Manhattan. I came back.
If I ask more question about that, do you have to kill me? It's not that part of the Department of Defense. Okay, so we won't go deeper.
Not that part, right? Yeah. So, so I came home back basically in October of 2016, right? I was still working for Morgan Stanley out of New York. At the time, our current mayor was running, right? It was his third try. As he says, third time's a charm. And when he won, he asked me, because we're, lifelong friends, right? He had asked me to come and be his CIO at the city of Aurora. At first I was like, there's no way I'm leaving the private sector, right? But after some coercion from him, and I'd said, hey, this is kind of my path. And it was my opportunity to help drive social impact and give back to the community. And basically pay it forward. So, I've been here and working in this role for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I consider myself a rookie to the public sector, but my job is all about disruption. And that's what we're trying to do here in the city of Aurora.
That's exciting. So tell us a little bit about what is about the CIO of Aurora, anything on that? We'll get into some of the things we've seen in the smart city space around what you've done, but just what's that like? I mean, you gave the background to get there, but...
Yeah, it was quite interesting in the beginning when I was trying to kind of, understand the landscape. And I actually was a little bit culture shocked, I would say, for the first 3 months when I came in. I kept saying to myself, what did I get myself into? because it was completely different. It was like stepping into the Twilight Zone, right? And, I started building relationships with different CIOs and people, also with Dom, right, throughout that first year. And just trying to understand and get some background, because it's nothing better than get lessons learned from people who've been in the sector, right? And I, started to look at kind of that whole smart city landscape to say, hey, why don't we just cater what we're doing around that? Because, smart cities takes a definition, differently depending on who you get it from, right? So, what I came up with at the time, I was like, the mayor is like, let's use technology to help drive public safety, economic development, education, and citizen engagement. It's pretty much the mantra of any city mayor, right? But what do we do differently with technology to help drive those, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, technology underpins all the different departments, all the different services, all the different solutions from, data-driven decision-making to basically procurement to, implementation of new technology, data sets, so forth and so on.
Totally.
But what we say was my definition, I'm giving you my definition of smart cities, and it kind of helps to kind of drive the strategy here, is basically technology integrates three things: information, communication, technology, to make your city run better, to make it safer, to make it more connected, and make it more prosperous. That's our definition in the city of Aurora. And we're not saying that we are the premier smart city, but we're learning to be the smartest city in America. So that's the approach that we're taking, and that's what we do.
Love it. Yeah, I can't believe it's only been 4 years. That's wild. You've done so much in 4 years. It's absolutely incredible. You're one of the true leaders. In fact, Mike, Aurora was listed as one of the top smart cities recently. Talk to us about some of those things that, are making it smart. And also, where do you see it heading in the next 4 years, maybe?
Right. That is a very good question. And, I typically think back to what the mayor said on his inauguration when he said, I'm not just the mayor, I'm the CEO for the city of Aurora. Right. Mm. Looking to take. Yeah, it was a very powerful statement. And he runs it like a business. Right.
That's awesome.
What can we do to make our citizens' life safer, run better, right? Make it more prosperous and make it more connected. And I kind of took the approach in terms of the biggest challenge was how do we get the departments, the divisions, the constituents, and everyone to get over this traditional mindset of this is how government runs. It doesn't have to run like that, right? So one of the things that I did and I noticed when I came in was the IT was just completely decentralized. We had IT in the police department. We had IT in water and sewer. We had fire, right? We had the city side, and it was just a mess. It was a mess. That's my technical term, right? Yeah. So, and one of my initial initiatives was basically first show some cost savings. And we did that within the first 6 months. And we were able to save $2.7 million in savings for that year, just over 6 months, right? And that was 2017. And they were, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, how did we do that? What's the formula of this, that? I was like,
Mike the magician.
Yeah. Only thing we did was some cost optimization. We looked at the contracts we weren't using and we canceled them. that's all it was, right? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure that out. Right? But with that $2.7 million in savings, what I embarked on was a journey to say, let's create the first ever digital strategic plan for the city of Aurora.
Awesome.
Keep in mind, there was a plan that was done back in 1984, and I had that on my desk, right? And it was more focused on data processing, right?
Did you say 1984?
1984, dude.
Was it George Orwell's book or what?
It's beautiful. I need to get it put into the museum here. But I looked at that. I was like, oh, my God. And some of this stuff still isn't done today. Like, for example, time and attendance, we're still doing it manually. That was in the plan back in 1984, still not done. But we're going to get to that in 2022 here soon to automate that process. But what we did, we partnered with a consulting firm and we did an assessment of, you know, our inventory. We also engaged with every department, division, also our council members and also the constituents, right? To say, what are we looking at here? What type of service do you expect? What type of solutions? Can it be easier? And just getting feedback. And we developed that plan and we published it in February of 2018. It was the first digital plan ever for the city of Aurora. And that's been kind of the roadmap going forward. But more importantly, it was a buy-in from the city council that we commit to basically using technology to help push these services. You know, and I got it on record. I got the video for every one of those aldermen and women in there, right? You committed to this, so help me to help you so we can help the community, right? And they stuck by that, and they really stuck by it. And, you know, the mayor kind of gave me a green field to just go out and do stuff because, honestly, I wouldn't be able to do most of the stuff that I'm doing today without that sponsorship from him. Matter of fact, it was one of the requirements when I came into the job. I was like, you want me to do this? I can do it, but I need your unwavering support. And he said, you got it. I said, if you change your mind, I will leave. But he never did. He never did. And we've been off to the races since.
No, yeah, you have. You've been doing a lot of great stuff. We've all been watching. But that's great leadership. I mean, wait to get the buy-in of not only the elected mayor, but also the community members too. I mean, that was critical. So let's shift to Online Aurora. Talk to us about that organization. You're the CEO there. What is the organization and kind of what's your capacity there and what's it all about?
Yeah, the Online Aurora is a very unique situation. So just to give some definition and clarity. So Online Aurora is our community internet service provider, right? Mm. The city of Aurora has a municipal fiber optic backbone. There's a 40-mile ring around the city, right? And the city itself is 45 square miles. We're spread out, right? And there's about 60 to 70 miles of laterals, right? Keep in mind, the city of Aurora is 33 miles due west of Chicago. And we have a lateral that stretches about 33 miles right back downtown to Chicago into the Equinix data center, which is basically the telecom hub for the Midwest. So every major ISP goes into that data center and goes out to the world. And the city of Aurora has its own network that stretches back in there. So we have global access. Okay, wow. That's really important for smart cities, right? When we talk about connected communities and branching out and being a global community, right? So on the city of Aurora is not in the business of, you know, selling fiber services. So OnLite acts as our exclusive fiber provider. We have a contract with them, and we basically lease the fiber to OnLite, and they go out and resell it on the commercial market. And also, however, there are stipulations in there that OnLite has to support what we call our anchor institutions. The anchor institutions are schools, not-for-profits, hospitals, and things of that nature, right? And that is a very important key to our overall smart city strategy because, again, I mean, that is the foundation of any smart city is connectivity.
Right? Yeah.
We're just in a very interesting position with that as I act as the chair and CEO for OnLite. Okay. But it is a separate entity. It's constructed of a 501c3 and a L3C, which is a hybrid between a for-profit and non-for-profit, which gives us special tax incentives. So we can basically OnLite, and again, I'm wearing two hats there, CIO for the city and the chair and CEO for OnLite. But again, there is a Mad Master Service Agreement between the two. There's also three board positions for city, officials on the OnLite board, the mayor, the CIO, and the alderman at large. And the rest are all private sector, which are up to nine other individuals that can sit on that. But it allows us to provide that connectivity, you know, not only to the city, but to the entire community. And now we're focusing on expanding that out to every resident in the city of Aurora, all 64,000 residents. And we're also looking to make a regional play and working with our different counties as well to basically provide high speed, cost effective internet service and, you know, looking to basically compete on that market, right?
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, I know a lot of cities are probably going to be watching that closely, especially with a lot of this broadband infrastructure money coming down and them trying to figure out how are they serving these low-income, unserved, underserved populations. That's going to be a great model. I'm guessing people can just find that by searching online Aurora or just find information.
Well, in terms of it, I mean, it's not final yet, you know.
Okay.
But we're looking to... maybe Q1, Q2 of 2022.
Awesome.
Making that official. And then it's going to be, I mean, you know, we're going to start shovels in the ground and kind of moving things forward, right?
Awesome. Yeah, that's great, Mike. So let's shift now to kind of the idea of the innovation district, something I've been really watching. I know others have been watching very closely with your efforts around this to kind of make that, you know, the entire city, this innovation district. I think the proposed, $300 million in funding. How's that process going? Talk to us a little bit about the idea behind that and kind of where you think that can take you in your smart city efforts.
Right. Again, that's another critical component to the overall smart city strategy, as you know, Dom. Traditionally, we've looked at innovation districts as specific areas within cities. I'm trying to debunk that model and basically say, the city itself is the innovation district. Why put restrictions on that? Because, you know, connectivity, just because I live outside the city boundaries, I mean, does that where the smart city stops? No. I mean, the whole concept is about, you know, ubiquitous connectivity. That's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is basically trying to attract business, you know, to the city. And not say you're blocked into this one specific area, right?
Yeah.
So with the concept of the 605 Innovation District, let me kind of define that. We use 605 because the city of Aurora has five zip codes. 605, you know, 05, 6, 7, and 8. I think I messed that up, but we got six zip codes, right? And with those, we have five zip codes, right? So with those five zip codes, we're looking to serve all those different zip codes throughout the city of Aurora. So we said, why don't we just cut it short, use the prefix 605 and call that the innovation district, which is basically a representation of the entire city, right? So trying to attract those business into the 605 innovation district. Why is that important? Because why is that important as a business looking to basically set their business up or come to the city of Aurora? One, we have the fiber optic backbone to support those business. Two, if I'm a automotive manufacturer and I have a connected vehicle and I need sample data to test my connected vehicles, why restrict it to a small area? You have the entire city of Aurora that will be wired up with fiber, mesh connectivity throughout the entire city, that you can get a larger sample data and potentially accelerate, you know, your product to market if you have more data, right? Because what do we all want now? Data, right? So we're trying to create the city to make it a sandbox for innovation for those businesses that need connectivity, that need additional data, and they need a playground to kind of test their products and solutions.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible. I mean, it's a great strategy, a great platform. We're all cheering you on.
Yeah. Me too. I'm cheering myself on.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can help. Tell us what's the city of Aurora's relationship with marketplace.city? And what is it? We haven't had that referenced on the podcast yet. Anything that's doing to accelerate your success and overall the journey you're on for the city? Help us understand.
Yeah. So I have to say, this is probably one of our marquee initiatives and probably the one that I got the most bullet holes for, right? in my plaque vest, right? So one of the initial things when I came in and did the assessment early in 2017 and 2018 was we're talking about doing all these smart city initiatives and all this technology deployment. And it was the biggest hurdle, and this is not a surprise to anybody, was technology procurement. Oh my God. I was just like, the procurement system or the concept works in a commodity-based environment. If I'm buying a widget, it's great, right? Take it out to bid, get the lowest bidder, right? Let's move forward. But that concept or that mindset was there for our procurement officials and the staff with technology services and solutions. I'm like, no, it is not about the lowest bid. It's the best value for money, right? And it may cost more, right? So trying to kind of unravel that mindset, it's basically taken me, I would say, 3 years, but we got it in place. Now I'm going to explain what we got in place. So that partnership with Marketplace.city, they are a technology procurement provider, right? They're a startup, right? They're here based out of Evanston, Illinois, which is just north of Chicago, very close to Aurora. They presented what they called was their clear box process, right? And it's a method in terms of how they do technology procurement. They are the experts, right? If you think of a co-op or some of these GSA contracts, it's kind of like that, but focused on specifically technology, right? So
for public sector or for any industry?
For public sector. Well, their focus is public sector. I'm not sure about the private sector piece. Gotcha. But you know, working with Chris Foreman, who's the CEO and founder, and also Andrew Watkins, who's the COO, they came to me. Well, we met somewhere. I think it was at a bar. Yeah, probably. You know, and we were talking about technology. It was at an event. But they were talking about this clear box process. I was like, okay, tell me more. And we went through it. I was like, you know what? I really love this concept, right? And I tried to take it back to the CFO, and he was completely against it. He's like, that will not work here in the city of Aurora, the private sector or the public sector anywhere. And when he said that, I was like, it'll work. It'll work. Right. But what we did was, so after collaborating with him, and I had to go around him, I'm sorry to be quite blunt, you know, to take it to the chief of staff and the mayor to say, what I would like to do is I would like to pilot this for 1 year. If we can get the data and show the value, then we consider doing a long-term contract, right? So what we did, it was 2020. We did a pilot. We started in November of 2020, and it ended in October of this year, right? The first pilot, right? With that pilot, we were able to establish three very important key performance indicators. One, we were able to save over 1,000 staff hours in RFPs, right? Two, we were able to basically push out and basically to deliver 16 RFPs in 1 year.
Wow.
And the third one, which is very important as well, is what we were able to save $500,000 per contract savings for every contract. So, right. You know, and there's a fourth one as well. We were able to basically to bring down the time to do the RFP. So traditionally it was somewhere from 8 to 10 to 12 months for RFP. We were able to bring it down to 35 to 45 days. Right.
That's awesome.
That right there sold itself. Right?
Yeah.
And then we just renewed a 3-year contract. No, I'm sorry. No. A 5-year contract with Marketplace City to run technology procurement for the city of Aurora. Right. That's by far one of the biggest and the most disruptive initiatives that we had. And it's basically shown this value to the city of Aurora, you know, the departments, our constituents, and everyone. So,
wow, interesting.
And yeah, so do you see the change of mindset within the organization now? Like, oh, we can do that. We were wrong. Like, is it starting to bleed through other departments and things like that?
Yeah, they bought it. They didn't say we were wrong, but they bought it. They definitely bought into it. Yeah,
that's awesome.
They didn't say you were right either, did they?
Well, I know inside. That's all that matters, and it only matters for our constituents. And the city, right?
That's awesome.
Marketplace is basically an extension of our procurement team today. They're on our city council meetings. They're in our meetings. I mean, they're part of the family.
You know? That is awesome. Congrats. That's great.
Thank you.
Well, cool. So we have a couple standard questions as we wrap things up. It's been awesome so far learning about you.
Hey, Chris, I don't do standard.
Yeah. we're not expecting. We don't get standard responses. That's why we ask these questions. We get some good ones. But if there's something Dom or I can do, we've just learned that giving returns, and if there's any help we can do for you, what would it be? Is there, you know, to take it to the next level, continue your progress? Is it opening doors? Is it connections? Is it someone listening to this podcast that if they can make this magic happen, it would propel you? I don't, we found this been a very unique question. We get unique answers. So,
right.
Let the mic pick his answer.
Right. So, I mean, I guess the first thing in terms of relationships is very important, because me personally, I've learned a lot from Dom over the last 4 years. I mean, so it's like I'm already collaborating with him. He's helped me in so many different ways as we look to kind of stand up our 605 Innovation District, and just looking at what, you know, you guys did there in Arizona with the Arizona Commerce Authority and the incubations and the incentives, you know, and ASU, right? I mean, it is like the model, and it's been working, what, for about 15 years or more. You know, so I kind of stole some pieces or borrowed some pieces from that, you know, with that whole public-private partnership concept. So it's working great. I said, in terms of what I would probably look from, like, yourself and Dom, is probably we probably need to get together after, you know, especially after this COVID era, and kind of catch up on things, right? And do some water cooler conversations and see where we can, you know, collaborate and identify some opportunities. So, you know, Dom, after this, I'll definitely be connecting with you on that. And Chris, you said that you're the deputy CIO at ASU. You know, I'd love to kind of sit down and pick your brain from an educational perspective and see what we could potentially do with ASU and also Dom and his team. And just to see what comes and what's, you know, let's throw some stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
I love it.
I will say this. You want to hear an amazing vision about the university. Listen to our podcast from a couple weeks ago with Michael Crow talking about how a city can partner with its adjacent universities in big ways. And if there's anything you want to go deeper on what we do, happy to share. I love the idea of just digging deeper on some of these things. I mean, that's what we started the podcast for. So great to see that we've got you here and you want to learn more about what we're doing. Happy to share. So back to collaboration, appreciation more likely. Is there anyone that's just someone you want to call out that's helped you along the way? I'm guessing I know a couple just based on your previous responses. And also, if you think they'd be a great person to get on the show, let us know if they're a good fit as you've learned about the urban complex, whether we should bring them in.
Absolutely. Well, the first one you already got on here, that's actually Dom, right? So
that's the second in a row. Dom's getting popular. I think people like that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, and again, he's helped me tremendously over the years. I would say also the former chief innovation officer at Kansas City, Bob Bennett.
Oh, cool.
Who is now at Cities Today. I'm not sure if he's been on there. He would be a great individual, you know, but get ready for kind of like full blast energy, dude. That dude is like the Energizer Bunny, you know.
Oh, yeah, time. We haven't had Bob on yet, but you're the second person. We should probably reach out about time now.
Yeah.
Definitely him. I would also recommend getting the marketplace.city team on. Yeah. And let them talk about technology procurement, because it has to be one of the single biggest challenges in the public sector. Oh. Right? And it is a massive hurdle to get over. And we think that we've basically identified the solution to it. So, you know, that's awesome. Getting Chris Foreman and also Andrew Watkins on there to have a conversation.
Yeah, I was thinking that while you were mentioning it. I actually thought you were mentioning the mayor. I'd love to have the CEO of Aurora on. That sounds impressive. So,
hey, we can get that. We can make that happen as well, right? You know, so, you know, he started out as kind of like the public safety education mayor. Now he's the tech mayor. You know,
I love it.
I'll take a little credit for that on his part. But yeah, that would be another Mayor Irving. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
He is the spearhead here at the city of Aurora. So
that's great.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks, Michael. With that, the Urban Complex gives a big note of thanks to today's guest, Michael Pegas, CIO of the city of Aurora, Illinois, not Colorado. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Thank you.
Good to see you, Mike.
You too. Thanks, Dom. Yeah.
The Greater Phoenix Economic Council, known as GPEC, was named the top economic development organization in the U.S. in 2020. As a data-driven regional organization, GPEC serves as a strategic partner to companies across the world as they expand or relocate to other markets. Over the past 31 years, GPEC has fueled the Greater Phoenix economy by helping more than 850 companies and creating more than 154,000 jobs. Leaders in Greater Phoenix are building the nation's most innovative and connected smart region through the Connective. This community-driven applied research model deploys technology at scale. For more information about GPEC, visit gpec.org.
All right, Chris, Mike, CIO of Aurora, what'd you think? Awesome, huh?
Yeah, he's got some energy. I love how he made the transition and came from a different sector, brought fresh light. But I think the statement he talked about as mayor just stuck with me. I'm not just the mayor. I'm the CEO of Aurora. You know, you need a person that's willing to take some risk, that looks at things differently than the status quo. You know, he talked about Mike's way of leveraging that was getting the departments and divisions that realize that government can be run differently. If you have the air cover of a novel leader, you can do those things. It just makes me think of some of the things that we heard from Michael Crow when he was a guest, as well as just what I know at ASU. We don't look at ourselves as a university or the prior world of university. We literally look at ourselves as an enterprise. And I think that's similar. Like he is the CEO of a multi-enterprise organization willing to change the game. And back to Aurora, it sounds like they're willing to do things differently, right? Second largest city in the state of Illinois. They probably have the cloud of you know, the Chicago umbrella only 35 miles away, but yet they know they're gonna do things to make themselves unique. And you know, in that process, they get buy-in from city council. They have this now digital strategic plan, dusted it off from 1984, used the same book. No, that was pretty funny. I don't know. That part just really resonated early. I know I commented just so distinctly different, but I don't know. Does that resonate to you?
Yeah, it was great. And I think Mike brings that mindset into the, you know, the information CIO position. Well, you know, what I love too is just, it's a leadership story in general, especially for people trying to, that are maybe coming into a new position in a city, that are trying to lead smart city efforts. But this idea of, hey, before he even came in, he made sure the mayor and some of the other key, you know, officials understood this is what he was going to do and this is what he was going to need. And if they weren't able to provide that, then the role wasn't from him. But the fact that he did that, got buy-in from the electeds, but then got buy-in from the staff and the constituency, the citizens, it just enables you to have now that freedom and the leadership to do what you want to do and get things done, right? Instead of saying, oh, well, they said no, but I'm still going to try to come in here and now I'm unhappy because I don't have the resources or the freedom to do anything, right? It's setting the stage early, being open and transparent before you even get to the role. So that way you set yourself up for success, right? How many times have we heard, oh man, I get no support. I don't, you know, because, but you didn't ask when you were coming into the position if that's, you know, what you needed. And so I just thought that was a great leadership piece of advice for people coming into new roles, especially CIO roles. Set the stage and make sure it's the right role for you, so that way you can be successful.
Yeah, I hear you.
What I mean, and then maybe one thing else that I really loved is the idea of the innovation district being citywide. Yeah. Right? This idea of, hey, let's dispel smart city myths. Why? I know, you know, Bruce, I think it was Bruce Katz, you know, something created the innovation district concept where you cluster innovation, you know, assets within a small geographic boundary. But for smart cities and stuff like that, when you're testing tech, why does it have to be a small, you know, small geographic area? Why not? Hey, if I want to test tech all over the city, why not just make my entire city an innovation district and enable me to do that? So I love that. What I think he literally said, like, I'm dispelling that myth. Because how it made me start to think, well, you know, crap, how many other things that we take for granted because that's how they were or have they been? And yeah, why not have an innovation district that's wider than, you know?
And we also see a theme like when you have an entity like an OnLight Aurora, we've seen that in other regions, saw that in Cleveland, we know that here, when you have kind of that unique vehicle to bring that broadband and the fiber and the kind of pseudo nonprofit, pseudo for profit, but cover the cost, not to maximize profit, but to just to invest and do things differently, you can then canvas the landscape so you can get that consistency. Holy. And you can extend your border. I mean, we've always said that if it just ends right here, like what's the use? Like yeah. Everyone else outside, but that's kind Sorry. Of what we're facing as a nation, right? We got so many unconnected, we got so many nuances, this stuff. And people joke like smart cities, we've been talking about it for a long time, that should be done. It's just like there's so much that needs to be there. But once it's there, amazing things can happen. So you got a lot of that base.
And come on. I mean, what about the procurement piece? I mean,
that's where I was going next. I mean, you know, some things I'm trying to get through and it takes some creative hurdles. Yeah, that whole marketplace city is a really interesting idea. I should have asked a couple of questions that came up later. So maybe we will have to have him open the door to the CEO. That'd be a fun conversation. But saving 1,000 staff hours in RFP awesome. Time, I mean, transformational. You know, 16 RFPs that get moved in a year. He said $500,000 savings per contract. I'm a little, I wasn't sure if that was, I guess, because that means if he did that 16 times, that's $8 million in savings. He didn't quantify it that way. So I have a funny feeling I heard that wrong, but still like major progress and 35 to 45 days of turnaround time. I mean, could you imagine if we could move that fast?
Incredible. I know, it's such a good lesson learned. I know that Andrew and Chris well, and so we'll have to definitely get them on the show.
Have you met them before? Okay, cool.
Yeah, they're very heavily involved. You know, we're working with them with the Connected too, but just what an incredible leadership story. He was the first one to go do it, right? Because we've run into issues, but again, that shows Mike's leadership and this bias for action that he has just naturally. Like CFO said, nope, well, I'm going to figure out a way to do it anyway, right? Because to me, that's not negative in any way, right? Not throwing the CFO under the bus. It's just, hey, I really believe in this. I'm the CIO. I need to purchase tech in a more innovative way, in a more efficient way.
Well, right. And his point that procurement is designed for commodity and cost saving, yeah. But tech is not about cost savings per se. It's about creation, value creation. So technology and tech services, you know, if you go at the cheapest price, a lot of times you're going to get what you pay for. And it's not that you want to pick the most expensive one. That's not necessarily either. There's a lot of fluff and mirrors. If you have to sift through the noise, but like that's part of the process. And procurement groups aren't specialties in procurement tech services. They don't know how to sift through the noise. So they need a good tech team that's going to do that diligence. But at the same time, it can't be so limiting that you're limiting your options. And it sounds like that's what he navigated around with Marketplace.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, what a great podcast. Good one this week, Chris. Yeah. So what do you have for us, cracks in the pavement wise? What do we have this week?
Found a fun one. It's something we haven't really talked about. We haven't dug into buildings themselves, but the title is Building Electrification Momentum Grew in U.S. Cities in 2021. And basically what's happening is that cities are imposing decarbonization policies or just electric usage policies, both for new and existing buildings. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And so, you know, as you put some policy around this, it forces change. And cities all over are taking this approach. I guess California, Seattle, Eugene, Oregon, Chicago, Denver, Ithaca, New York. So, you know, and that's kind of the carrot and the stick, right? Although with policy, sometimes it can be the lash too. But I don't know. Anything jump out as you look at it?
Yeah, a couple things here. I mean, the big push is around decarbonization. City of Flagstaff here in Arizona has a decarbonization goal by 2030. It's one of the most aggressive in the country. The mayor is really kind of excited, a really young go-getter. So I'm excited to see that happen. But this also reminds me of the Envision Charlotte program, the opportunity to potentially gamify this, where you remember they were trying to really drive clean energy and energy savings in their downtown area. And so they started this initiative that almost gamified it, where buildings were competing against each other and they had digital kiosks in the lobbies of their buildings saying, this is the percent energy savings we have so far. And the buildings were competing with each other, and it just really drove the adoption of tech to save energy. And so it was really exciting to see what was able to happen when, you know, buildings and companies started, you know, competing in a good way to embed technology to save energy. It was just interesting. So it makes me wonder if this is a tactic cities could use to really help drive this, instead of, you know, maybe the stick of policy, maybe, hey, incentivization, right? The gamification.
But, yeah, that's it. The thing. So, and we know at ASU, we partnered with the local utility companies. There's amazing carbon neutrality work. We've talked about this in our stadium, our football stadium, that every normal day outside of the few game days, they're in the middle of the summer when it's super packed. It's a net generation of energy. And so totality over the year, it's already net neutral, if not a generator. And now with new code and you know, Ithaca actually is lining up $100 million in private financing to support their transition. There's a little joke there that there's much different scale between Ithaca's 6,000 buildings and, you know, like Manhattan, but still, like, we've learned this before. You pilot and then you learn and then you adopt and go scale. And maybe these private equity companies or whoever's behind the 100 million, they find a way to do other unique financing. We're starting to see unique Green ways bonds. To invest in infrastructure. What we hear from Syracuse with their whole lighting thing, Jen, they sound like they had amazing progress with that, but getting private funding to invest, and it was cost neutral. I believe that's how they did it.
So, totally. Yeah. I mean, you look at all these Amazon's green bonds, Google sustainability bonds that they're putting out. I mean, multi-billion dollars investing in these technologies. So it's, to me, it's only a matter of time before this really starts to catch on.
Yeah, right on. Okay, awesome. Well, that's a wrap, everyone. Thanks for joining, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Urban Complex, smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow. Please find us on where you listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. We do love your feedback. Let us know if you have ideas for guests or questions to air on Cracks in the Pavement via social media. The Urban Complex is found on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Or just shoot me an email, chris@theurbancomplex.com. Till next time.